This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tee Clinic. Men's Tee Clinic is the team I trust with my total wellness optimization, and so should you. Five DFW locations with North Frisco, El Dorado Parkway at Dallas North Tollway now open. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEE or visit mensteeclinic.com.
Thanks for always checking in with the show, texting in, being part of what we do, 877-881-1053. And don't forget to go download the radio.com app so you can take us anywhere you go at any time you want.
Right.
So let's say Monday morning, or I'm going to say Tuesday morning.
Okay.
You missed Monday night's show because you were like, oh, crap, I forgot. They don't have Monday night football anymore. So the KNC Masterpiece is on Monday nights, and Tuesday morning you wake up, and it's like 10:36, and you're like, hey, hold on. Can I listen to KNC? Yes, you can. You can rewind, and during that time, from 10:36 all the way like to 2, you can listen to the KNC Masterpiece.
I know the times of the day.
Or to 2:36.
Wow, yes.
You know,
if you can go to 2:35.
You can actually, because you can fast forward, you can even break it all the way back down. You can go from 10:36 to like 12:36. I think you can get the entire show in. So there you go. Radio.com, you can fast forward and rewind. But right now, it is time to go around the entire NFC East and rumble through the East.
That makes me laugh every time because I think of something different. All right, always choose your own adventure going around the NFC East. Would you like to go with the Eagles, the Giants, the Redskins, or the Cowboys?
You know what? I'd like to hear what's going on with the Giants,
Ooh,
Kevin.
You picked the correct one.
Yay.
So.
I don't know what I win.
First, you win an amazing story about Eli Manning that I think you're really going to like. First, I'm going to give you some of the injury reports. Saquon Barkley and Evan Ingram are officially off the injury report, so they will be good to go. Also, good news for the Giants, Wayne Gallman, the running back and defensive line, Olsen Pierre have cleared concussion protocol. So they will now have the full backfield at their disposal. So the injury report is looking up for the Giants. However, they're still screwed. And here's why. You know how, like, sometimes you have your backup quarterback or another player serve as a decoy to prepare you for the next opponent?
Yes.
Uh-huh.
Yes, I do.
So who are the Giants playing this week? Playing the Cardinals.
Okay.
They're playing the Cardinals, Corey. The
Cardinals are quarterbacked by Kyler Murray. This week in practice, the Giants asked Eli Manning to replicate Kyler Murray.
Well, that's not going to be realistic.
How is that going to work?
It won't.
They're going to put him back there on a three-wheeler. And he's just going to be able to just ride that sucker anywhere he wants to go.
Ooh, they made the defense play in sand as to slow them down and make him appear faster.
So, in case you weren't sure how terrible of an idea this is, Eli Manning has played in 234 games and has 568 career yards. He has never topped 80 yards in a season. Kyler Murray had more than 80 yards in each of his first 9 games last year at Oklahoma. So,
what if they made the defense go out there barefoot and then they Vaseline their feet?
That's a possibility, too.
Right.
Yeah. Eli Manning is slow, Kevin.
He's averaging 2.5 yards rushing a game.
There was a moment
true
when
statistic.
I had to process the number that you just said, and it's hilarious.
Nice.
He is slow, and that's not going to work. So they're going to go out there and they're going to get on the field and they're going to be like, hold on. This guy's a lot faster than what we were preparing for.
Okay, that's on them. Like, I agree that the Giants are doing a terrible job of setting this up, but if a defender goes out there and goes, hold on, this fella's faster than Eli, that's on you for not understanding the people in the NFL, I guess. So, by the way, Giants host the Cardinals. That's a noon kick. They are favored by 3 points. I think I might, at this point, I might take the points. All right, do you want to move on to the Redskins, Eagles, or Cowboys?
Eagles, Kevin.
All right.
Eagles.
I just saw somebody post on Facebook, Kevin. F, and I cannot stress this enough, F the Eagles. So
that's okay.
I wanted to put that out there.
Well, I mean, I have some exciting news for you. The Cowboys, as it stands right now, 7:20 kickoff Sunday night pregame. Actually, probably getting going after another NFL game about 3:30 right here on The Fan. Cowboys favored by 2.5. News came out today. DeSean Jackson, we told you, probably going to happen, out. Jason Peters, we told you that was definitely going to happen, out. Linebacker Nigel Bradham, out. So, while the Cowboys have had their own injury concerns, we can update that more in just a second. The Eagles got all kinds of problems. So,
do you feel like your unhealthy guys, though, that are going to be playing can defeat their non-existent health guys and that their backups are not going to be as prepared?
Will you accept the word hope in this scenario?
You better accept the word yes.
Yes.
I'm done disagreeing
with Colby for the day.
I don't know if I agree.
Okay,
man.
Well, do you really want to get in a debate with either one of us?
Nope.
Did you hear how that went? All right.
All I'm saying is I know they're very injured, but if you're a Cowboys fan, after seeing what just happened with the Jets, I have no faith in this team at the moment. Sorry.
So let's go back to the Eagles. We talked about the other day how they had somebody criticizing Carson Wentz and a couple of different criticisms from anonymous players. Here's what Alshon Jeffrey told the New York Post. Sounds like a story being made up to me. Other people kind of felt the same way. Zach Ertz said, it's tough because how much merit do you put in the person writing the article addressing the anonymous player? It could be anybody. I don't know what it is. Could be someone in the front office. Could be a coach. Could be an agent. You don't really put too much merit until somebody puts their name behind it. Is that, I know we've talked about that before. Is that how you guys feel? You instantly, like not all the way necessarily, but do you instantly deduct from a story to a certain percentage because it's an anonymous player?
Usually when it's an anonymous player, I actually think you're getting more of the truth now. Because
I think that too.
None of the repercussions can happen to an anonymous player because nobody knows who the hell he is.
Okay. I could see that.
I do. There is part of me that I feel like you may be getting the truth, but it's going to be with an angle because anonymous player is saying something because they have an axe to grind. And sure. That's the only reason they're saying it. That goes all the way back to the SMU guy. He told reporters what SMU was doing because they wouldn't pay him anymore. And so he was like, well, I have an axe to grind. So I'm telling my side of the story. It wasn't even the complete story, but they were able to find the rest of the complete story. So in my opinion, I think you're getting a slanted version of it.
Interesting. You guys want to go next with the Redskins or with the Cowboys?
Let's hear about the Redskins, Kevin.
So the Redskins also have their own set of injuries to deal with. Obviously, a daunting task in front of them as they are hosting the 49ers. But the 49ers are one of only two undefeated teams in the league. And the Redskins were one of only a handful of winless teams until last week. They are 10-point underdogs. For the Redskins, they will be without running back Chris Thompson, toe. Tight end Vernon Davis, concussion. Cornerback Josh Norman, hand and thigh. He is at least questionable. And it looks like the other two are going to be out, though, because none of them practiced all week. And so when you don't practice all week, that doesn't mean it's absolutely impossible for you to play, but it definitely would lead you down that path that they're probably not going to play. In other Redskins,
a lot of veterans too.
Yeah, no, absolutely.
Especially whenever you're having a bad season, veterans are like, I don't want to play.
So that leads you to the young kids, to the rookies. We talked about how Dwayne Haskins has had a couple of good days at practice. The idea started to go around that some of the difficulties he had in the game, specifically that week four game against the Giants, were because he couldn't read the defense. So Dwayne Haskins didn't really care for that, said, the idea that he can't read defenses is a joke.
Whoa.
Now, offensive coordinator Kevin O'Connell said that Dwayne Haskins has been showing more urgency since that game. So I also don't believe that it's likely that he couldn't read defenses, but that seems to be something that really sparked a fire under him.
All right. So when it comes to reading defenses, I believe coming out of college that not all quarterbacks can, and especially reading all the wrinkles that you're going to see when you get to the NFL, because every defensive coordinator has something that you just haven't seen yet. I think it's important to get thrown into the fire so that you can experience it and say, okay, I saw that before. I know what they're about to do. Or at least go, hold on, is this a bluff? You know, so when it comes to reading defenses, a lot of people get that confused of experience seeing what's happening and before you even, you know, get a chance to see it. So maybe watching film is going to help that.
Sure.
But man, when you're on the field, it's completely different.
The Redskins are winless in divisional games this year, whereas the Cowboys and Eagles are both undefeated in divisional games thus far this year. So let's go to the Cowboys. I just wanted to throw this out there as a shameless promotion. Have you seen who's going to be there for the Cowboys Hour, which is Monday, 7 p.m. right here on 105.3 The Fan?
Is it Kevin?
No.
Oh.
The players.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
But I do kind of want to be there for this because it's going to be Robert Quinn and Tank.
Really? Man, and Tank's going to tell you he's going to tell you the truth.
Is this going to be a good one or is it going to be sad?
He's going to tell you the truth. And you know what? KT's not going to sit there and just lob up softballs for him. KT and Brad will ask the real questions, and Taylor Stern, they'll ask real questions to Tank. And you know what? They know that Tank will answer them honestly.
Yeah, here's the thing. You gave two things that it could be, just really awesome or sad.
Yeah.
There's no in between with this.
I agree.
There's none. So
which side are you kind of trending towards at the moment?
I'm trending towards yes.
Okay.
And really awesome.
All right. Now, on the Cowboys injury front, and we'll get even further into this in just a little bit, the only person who has been declared out is Anthony Brown. Mm-hmm. So his hamstring is going to have him out. Look for a heavy dose of Jordan Lewis.
Thank God.
Dorrance Armstrong, Randall Cobb, Lyle Collins, Amari Cooper, Byron Jones, Joe Looney, Zach Martin, and Tyron Smith all officially listed as questionable. But it sounds overwhelmingly likely that Lyle, Tyron, Amari, and Byron Jones are going to play. Now, this is obviously going to be important because Jason Witten had this to say about the Cowboys game against the Eagles. It's huge. Both teams' backs are against the wall. Do you think whoever loses this game makes the playoffs?
Yeah, I mean, there's a possibility. I don't think this is a make or break.
Okay.
It's a possibility that two teams could come out of the wild card out of the West, though.
I mean, there is, but we've got a lot of the season left out of this thing.
North is looking pretty salty, too.
So, but that's what I'm saying is, you know, I don't know if this division will be able to have a second contender. I think that whatever the only route to the playoffs is going to be to win the division.
Well, then I mean, it's still going to fit into there's a lot of season left because I don't think this game wins you the division.
Yeah, no, that's a great point.
All right,
I think this game though will have a lot of people questioning on either side what they really are as a team, though. No matter what the team is.
Again, 7:20 kick, 3:30 pregame right here on The Fan. We wanted to give you an update. As we move beyond the NFC East, the Yankees were victorious over the Astros 4-1. Justin Verlander eats the loss in that one. Now the series shifts back to Houston for Game 6 tomorrow and then Game 7 potentially Sunday. And there's been some question, and we even kicked this around before the show, about who will start for the Astros tomorrow. I think it's going to end up being a bullpen game because then you would use Garrett Cole on regular rest on Sunday. But, Corey, I know you think they should go the route of moving up the Cole start and going tomorrow.
Yeah, I'm not risking letting the Yankees get hot. I'm not risking them winning, what, is that two in a row?
That would be two in a row.
I don't want them to win two in a row and then have to play Garrett Cole because I don't think that you have anybody in Game 6 to pitch.
No, you don't.
So I say go with Garrett Cole and just go ahead and shut this thing down. Like if I'm the Astros, that's exactly what I'm doing. I'm shutting it down because you're not scoring on Garrett Cole.
So the reason why I would not pitch Garrett Cole is if you don't use him and you lose, you know, you've got the ace in the hole.
You're not for losing Sunday. To when Garrett Cole's on the mound.
He's not going to lose. But that doesn't mean the team's not going to lose because maybe their bullpen, I mean, their bullpen has, you know, been strong, but maybe their bullpen doesn't hold it down for you. And
since May, Kevin Garrett Cole has no losses.
I know, but that also, he hasn't won every one of his starts because sometimes the team blows it for him. It's never his fault.
He needs to pitch nine.
So, but if he did, then he wouldn't be available till game three of the World Series. The reason why I would hold him till game seven is if he pitches that game because of the off day structure, he could still pitch game three and game seven of the World Series. So you wouldn't lose any traction by holding him. And then obviously if you win in game six, he would be there to start game one of the World Series, which, hey, we're almost there. Starts Tuesday. Whoever wins, Astros, Yankees, they'll host the Nationals Tuesday evening. We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. We give you a Cliff's Notes version of the Cowboys' injuries and returns, asking you this question at 877-881-1053. Does this boost your confidence level for Sunday night? Give us a prediction while you're at it. We'll do it next on The Fan.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Back on the KNC Masterpiece on 105.3 The Fan. Don't forget, October 26th, it's our party. It's your party. And we want you to be there. Don't miss your own party, all right?
Okay.
That would be the worst thing you could possibly do is miss your own party. And it's going to be at Texas Live. And Jalen Smith's going to be, he's been invited. Charles Haley's been invited to the party as well. That dude, you never know what he's going to say. And then you got like Chris Woodward, a very special Rangers player, will be there. And then, man, Ed Belfour, Craig Ludwig. The Dallas Cowboys cheerleaders.
Ooh, I just had a thought. We've got all those people out there. I've been sending out stuff for a Peace-a-thon. Maybe we should do our own autograph seeking there for Peace-a-thon.
Yeah, we could get an autograph football or puck. Or we need something else, Kevin. We got to get maybe an autograph Tolo flag by all those guys, and then we could auction it off.
I want an autographed football from Ed Belfour.
Yeah, it's kind of weird. So, yeah, man, I'm really looking forward to it. October 26th, that's next Saturday. Yeah,
that's correct.
So be there or be not.
Square.
Dang it. I knew that one. Guys, we just discussed this, and we have a lot of injury returns. Tyron will be playing. Everybody that was injured, except for Anthony Brown, is going to be playing in this game.
So here's the gigantic list, and Anthony Brown with a hamstring, he's out. But everybody else was listed today as questionable. Dorrance Armstrong, neck. Randall Cobb, back. Lyle Collins, knee. Amari Cooper, ankle and quad. Byron Jones, hamstring. Joe Looney, back. Zach Martin, back and ankle. Tyron Smith, ankle. But the kind of the key people there, according to sources, Tyron, Lyle, Amari, Randall Cobb, and Byron Jones will all be good to go for the Sunday night game.
Playing.
Okay, yes.
I still have a lot of questions
on
good
to
go.
Will they be good to go? But they should be able to at least start the game. So, 877-881-1053. Does that boost your confidence going into the game and give us a prediction?
Well, it surely does boost my confidence.
I would think, yeah.
I mean, even if you're looking at it like they maybe some of these guys, if this was not the Eagles, wouldn't be out there. If it wasn't a divisional opponent, they wouldn't be out there. But seeing these guys go, oh my God, we need to be out there no matter what. It's not your Willis Reed moment. It's not that big, but it is something that, along with, you know, the words that have been said and the way they're going about it, they're going about this like this is what they say it is. This is what Witten says it is. It is a do or die game. It's one of those that's a really big thing to get out there. So that does raise my confidence level that there's a realization in this team that, oh, crap, we have blown what we had away, and it's not there anymore, and we have to get out there and save this season right now. And that's something that if I were to give a prediction on just that feeling being issued out, that's something that if it works, and this works, and I believe it will, then you're looking at like 35-17. You're looking at Cowboys win 35-17 if it works. Because that is something, the second half for this team has been something that they've been trying to catch up, yes, but that's when they've decided to play. If this team's already deciding to play at the first whistle, then we could see a Cowboys team that we haven't seen yet this season.
From the 940, this, and I know I'm not typically the pessimist when it comes to these things. You guys know I don't like to talk about things that make us sad. You know, I try not to bring up game six. It just happens on a daily basis. But from the 940, let's get real. Cooper is a decoy at best. And that's my concern is, A, they've convinced him to go out on the field and maybe get a catch. You know, maybe get one of those little button hooks where he gets an easy catch early, and now they're like, all right, we just did enough right there to make him a decoy. He has his catch. And then on top of that, my big question is, you know, how long can Tyron play? How long can Lyle play? Colby, that second half has been very big. Mm-hmm. If they can make it there, and if they go out, there's nothing, no way that I'm convinced if because of an injury, that they're like, man, I just can't go anymore. By halftime, there's no way that I think that the Cowboys coaching staff is prepared to have whoever their backups are prepared. And that's my biggest concern is that something happens in game that is going to limit the guys that we expect to be there to help. Because last week what we got was not enough help. I mean, last week what you got from the offensive lineman there was Dak getting destroyed.
Right.
So my prediction at the moment is that it's not very much confidence, Kevin. Not very much confidence at all.
All right, you need the confidence.
I got a 17-14 win for the Cowboys, though.
Oh, that's plenty confident. From the 214, you need this level of confidence, though. Cowboys win 56-0 and finish the season 16-3. F the Eagles. From the 530, the last 3 weeks I've predicted Cowboys win, they lost, so I refuse. From the 214, Cowboys get mollywopped 27-10. From the 682, my prediction is the Eagles win 31-21. My prediction is the same, like, differential in the score is I picked the Eagles 27-17. I desperately hope that I'm wrong, but I mean, even with all the returns, you look at this team and the points that y'all were just discussing about how close to full strength really are any of these players, and you wonder if Dak is still going to be getting killed out there and who he's going to have to throw the ball to and who he's going to have that will actually catch the ball and what are we going to do to be able to stop the run. And I have so many concerns about this team, which is remarkable. Just shows you how much things can change in really in 1 week in the NFL, but especially in 3 weeks in the NFL. So there is nothing outside of emotion right now that leads me into this game and thinks that the Cowboys should be favored or that they're going to win.
Yeah, and I think even on top of that, Kevin, with all the things that Colby and I discussed, none of that, all the injury stuff was even before what's plagued the offense and defense. Like just those two things that you made, those two points you made there, all the injuries stacked on top of
right
the fact that this offense can't get going, that this defense can't stop anything. Like, that wasn't even considered as one of my reasons yet.
And then, like, this is maybe kind of a side thing then, because I know the Eagles look bad about against the Vikings, but the 2 weeks before that, you know who they beat? The Jets and the Packers.
Right.
And they destroyed the Jets. That is before Sam Darnold came back.
It was with a different quarterback.
He's the greatest football player that has ever lived, so that's fair. But You know, like I said, outside of emotion, my confidence level isn't really high, but it definitely is propped up by the guys that are coming back. Like, because you got to hope Dak doesn't get annihilated every single time. I hold out hope that Amari Cooper is not just a decoy. I was reading this really interesting story in the Dallas Morning News today where he said, like, last week he didn't feel like he was on the same page with the Cowboys training staff. And so they talked some things over why he pulled himself out of the game. And now he feels like they are all on the same page. And when you add that into the fact that he was like, I'm going to practice today and I'm going to play on Sunday, that makes you feel a lot better and makes you feel like he's not being forced or anything to be out there. So hopefully he's usable.
I haven't seen this yet, Kevin, but I'm being told by the fan text that AJ Hinch just said that he is waiting to for Gerrit Cole for game 7. So that is their plan there. I would try to get, you know, game 6 out of the way and just move on.
You never want to get game 6 out of the way.
Yeah, you just want to keep going back and going back and going back and going back.
Shut up, Corey!
I just want to win in game 6. Just want to win in game 6.
There's a lot of it, and it seems like we're not alone in some of the lack of confidence. The Cowboys are going to get kicked in the junk, lose the game by 30 points, Gerrit will lose his job. Then somebody else asked, can you see Mike Tomlin being the coach? So in this case, we're already trying out new people. The 8-1-7, the Eagles win 35-12. You know, I hate
Mike
that.
Tomlin getting fired from the Steelers?
I could totally see that.
Okay. All right, then. Because I keep hearing his name popping up, and I'm like,
I could absolutely see the Steelers. Him. Because there's thoughts of, like, whether or not he still has control in the situation. What I really hate about the 35-12, outside of the fact that, like, obviously you lose and lose emphatically, you know that means we kicked 4 field goals. And they're probably at the most agitating time. Like, it's 28-9, and you're kicking a field goal, and then everyone loses their mind. Like, what are you doing? Why are we playing to lose this game?
This is more along the lines of my logic from the 214. They're going to win, not even a doubt, because that's what Gerrit does. Every time his ass is on the line, he does just enough to take the heat off of him.
Yeah, and that's...
Yeah, he doesn't typically lose 3 games in a row, or 2 games in a row, for that matter.
That's a really fair point, because, like, what if I told you the rest of the season goes like this? They beat the Eagles, go to the bye, and beat the Giants. So you're definitively in first place, riding high again. Then you lose to the Vikings, but beat the Lions, or vice versa, if you prefer. And so that sticks you at 6-4. Lose to the Patriots. You lose to the Bills at home. And just when everyone is ready to give up on you yet again, then you beat the Bears and the Rams in back-to-back weeks to go 8-6. And then things are going to be good forever. And then you lose to the Eagles. And so then you're 8-7 going into the Redskins game, knowing that you'll probably win, but might need help to get into the playoffs. Like, that feels like so many different incarnations of the Jason Gerrit team. Or maybe the other thing that you could see is maybe you're 8-6 or 7-7 going into that Eagles game. And the wild card has passed you by because it's going to take at least 10 wins and you're not going to make it. So, you know, you have to beat the Eagles to have the same record as them and get the tiebreaker or whatever. Like, that so feels like a Gerrit team. I could easily see you being 7-7 or 8-6 at that Eagles mark.
You forgot one thing though, Kevin, in that whole rant. You also got to add in the other expected things to happen. Carson Wentz won't be playing in that last game.
Ooh, that's true.
Oh, because he's going to be injured.
I mean, that is what he does. But on the flip side,
and they're going to injure him this week. You know, that's
I'm not cheering for that.
Look, Tristan Hill rolls up on an ankle, knee, whatever. I'm fine with it. I'm kind of pulling for it.
It's about time we got some use out of our top draft.
Absolutely, man. You know what? They should be high fiving him if he does it.
You realize how rare it would be if the Cowboys made the playoffs this year?
You realize how rare it would be if one of the defensive linemen got to the quarterback?
Oh, man. It feels like it's been 12 years. It's been 12 years since we made the playoffs in back-to-back seasons, but It also feels like it's been 12 years since we've gotten consistent pressure on the quarterback.
Yeah, so it's just something that we don't do.
We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next, let's talk some college football. If you want to get in on it, 877-881-1053. What is your go-to game of the week? We'll talk losing streaks and Heisman trophies, too, next on The Fan.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.
This segment of the KNC Masterpiece is brought to you by Dallas Truck World. Dallas Truck World just got in a G-Wagon, they got a Range Rover, and a Porsche 911, so check out that and all the rest of the inventory at DallasTruckWorld.com.
Back here on the KNC Masterpiece on 105.3 The Fan, Corey Majors, Kevin Hagelin, Colby Sapp, and Reggie. We're all hanging out in studio on this fine Friday night. If you're heading south on 75, there is a little blockage going on down there, so be careful on your way down to downtown. Guys, right now, it's time to talk about college football, though. Kevin, did you say there's a big losing streak going on? Or winning streaks? Who has the greatest winning streak in college football?
My default answer would probably always be Alabama. So, this weekend, Alabama has Tennessee. So, of course, they're going to win.
Right.
The last time Alabama lost to Tennessee, Nick Saban was not their coach because he was coaching the Dolphins. So, the last 12 years.
Good God. Yeah. That's the last time?
That's how long ago it happened.
So, he immediately left and just started dominating Tennessee.
Yeah. No, absolutely. And if you weren't sure about that, the last three times they've met, total score, Tennessee 38, Alabama 152.
That doesn't seem like there's a chance for Tennessee to win in any of those.
It really, really doesn't. So I feel bad for Daryl Taylor, Tennessee linebacker. It means everything to me to win this game, man. It's a cigar game. Intriguing. Whoever
A game where you when you get done, you light a cigar. Okay.
Whoever wins gets to smoke that cigar, and we ain't never got it yet. So that's what we're looking to do. We're going to go play and look to win, which, of course, is in stark contrast to what their coach said at the beginning of the week, where he said, there's this high school in Arkansas that only does onside kicks and never punts the ball. If we could make sure that Alabama never got the ball, that'd be a good strategy.
I mean, that sounds like a great strategy.
It does.
Until they figure out exactly what's going on after, I don't know, the first time you do it.
They're like, man, if we would have just punted instead of running the ball on our old goal line, we probably would have done better.
To be fair, Tennessee is 34.5-point underdogs, so I say the hell with it.
So you're telling me there's a chance.
Throw out some razzle-dazzle and just see what happens.
Flea flicker. Every play.
Yeah. No, I would support that.
And now, every time your wide receiver catches a ball, it's hook and ladder.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
In. I'm absolutely in. And this is kind of what you're going to see in a lot of the...
Pick up an extra 10 yards, maybe.
Sure. You see this in a lot of the top teams. Clemson, they're playing Louisville. They're favored by 24.5. Who cares? West Virginia is terrible. They're playing Oklahoma, who's favored by a billion. Same for Wisconsin. But there are a couple of games that might be more of interest. You've got Oregon and Washington, two top 25 teams. Then probably the marquee matchup nationally of the week, Michigan on the road against Penn State. Michigan is an 8-point underdog. But the marquee game in the Big 12, I would probably argue is, I mean, I wouldn't argue it is, Baylor against Oklahoma State.
Yeah, that's going to be a fun game.
So Baylor, this is sometimes where I don't understand, like, rankings and stuff. Why don't we rank what you really think? Not based off of, well, I should probably put you up here. Oklahoma State is favored by 4.5. It's a home game. So if it's on a neutral field, Oklahoma State would still theoretically be favored by 1 point.
Right.
Oklahoma State is not ranked. Baylor's ranked number 18. But why? Like, if you don't actually think they're as good as Oklahoma State, then I sometimes don't understand the charades that we go along with this. But
also, that's two separate entities, right? That's Vegas and the, what is it, AP poll?
Yeah, but...
Wait, are you trying to convince me that the AP poll runs Vegas or Vegas runs the AP poll?
Vegas absolutely, to a certain extent, runs the AP poll. Because have you ever seen the Vegas power poll? Like, sometimes, every now and again, they have like a radical difference. But a lot of times, it's not as far off as you might think. But yeah, maybe I should just go by the Vegas rankings. I'm going to see if I can get those on a more consistent. That they exist. So they absolutely exist. All right. Do you believe in Baylor? Because if Baylor were to win this game, they would move to 7-0.
Man. And then how far down before they play Oklahoma is it?
They play Oklahoma in 3 weeks.
Whew. I want them to keep it going.
Sure.
I want whatever, you know, the Big 12's records are by the end of the season, mostly to just have one loss. Like, I know that's impossible, but I want everybody to have lost once to OU, and for that to be propped up by what happens, right? Like, you want Baylor and Texas to all be in a situation where the losses that, or the wins OU has, gives them good standing.
This is might sound like a weird argument, but what if I told you it wouldn't be the worst thing in the world if Baylor beat Oklahoma if they were undefeated? Because as it stands right now, like, if they don't, Oklahoma's probably not going to play a team in the top 12 in the Big 12 championship. All right. But if Baylor were to win that game, that gives them a, like, first, like, really legitimate victory over a top-notch team, with all due respect to K-State and, sorry, Reggie, and Texas Tech. And so if you won that game, you could see a Baylor team definitely in the top 6.
Right.
And then if you got the win back, because as it stands right now, it could be tough for Oklahoma because, let's say, I mean, right now they're 5, so maybe they're going to be okay because 1 and 2 are Alabama and LSU, and they have to play each other. And I think you're going to be really hard-pressed to take a one-loss SEC team that didn't even make the SEC championship over undefeated Oklahoma. If it was undefeated, like, I don't know, some scrub school like Boise State, I'd be like, well, sure. But if it's Oklahoma, they're not going to keep Oklahoma out if Oklahoma was undefeated.
Yeah, no, I totally agree with you there.
Let's stick in the Big 12. Did you see that Ricky Williams sold his Heisman Trophy?
What?
How much do you think a Heisman Trophy goes for?
$50.
Okay, it's definitely more than that.
Well, how much do you think Reggie Bush's goes for?
It never happened.
I mean, yes, it did.
No.
It's there.
They asked him to send it back. It never happened. Why? Oh, what a dumb thing. Hey, will you just send it back? Okay.
No. No, you come get it from me. Come and take it.
You got to come rob my house to get it.
Oh, my goodness.
Yep. I'm going to say $20,000.
Okay. Colby?
I'm going to go higher and say like $50,000.
Okay.
$75,000.
Ooh, you guys can combine all of those and you're still not going to win.
Wow.
$135,000?
Higher.
$227,000.
Combine those and you're still not there.
$400,000.
More.
$500,000.
Ah, you're very, very close. The previous record.
$500,000.22.
Okay. We're not doing this because this is going to be like the time stamping thing.
23 cents.
Oh, my God. We're not doing this.
You can listen to the show Tuesday at like 10:20.
Yes, I know. 10:23, 10:25, 10:27, and all the minutes in between.
You said you forgot 10:24.
All the minutes in between. So, Tim Brown previously held the record.
10-19.
1987 Heisman Trophy sold for a very unstable $435,763.
Why?
Because somebody said $62.
Okay, hold on. All right.
Who doesn't go to 64? You made it all that way.
Yeah, and then add 5 more.
Yes. Mm-hmm. At least Ricky Williams sold for a more logical number, $504,000. Although, again, I question, if you got up to like 503 and somebody said 504, you're like, too far.
Yeah.
Why is that? Why is it not 500?
Because at that point, you've just given up because you're just like, it's never going to stop. You know, we're never going to, this guy's just going to keep trying to outbid me.
So Ricky Williams' Heisman Trophy sells for $504,000, the most ever for a Heisman Trophy. He previously held the rushing record. Then it was topped by Ron Dane.
All right.
Remember Ron Dane?
I do remember Ron Dane.
Remember when he's going to change the Giants?
Did
when he didn't?
Him and Tiki.
Did Melvin Gordon end up breaking his record? And Monty Ball broke that record. Like, it just
was that the overall record, or was that the touchdown record? I definitely remember that.
Yeah, the overall rushing record, like career and college, just keeps getting broken every year. I think Jonathan Taylor Thomas is going to end up breaking it this year.
Do you know one of the reasons why? Because not only did they add a game, they also now count bowl games in the statistics and championship games. So you could theoretically add three games a year.
Man, and just imagine if Bowl was there. That's two times that. So.
Okay, there are a few things I want more in the world right now than to see him as a running back.
At the Bowl.
God, what a...
Here's my question, though. Why are you buying a Heisman Trophy? If you're not a museum... Or something, like, it's just weird as a collector, I guess, being like, yes, I got that, but like, you didn't earn that.
Okay, so think about it. That's fair, but think about it from this perspective. Like, this morning, I saw a story about this couple that donated $50 million to SMU. I think it was the largest single gift SMU has ever got, and it's like building a building with their name on
it. And now I think they have donated $100 million overall.
That is correct. And so, like, you could scoreboard anybody with that. You can have somebody come into your house and be like, I'm the biggest Texas fan. Oh, are you? Check this out. This is Ricky Williams' Heisman Trophy. And then that person's kind of like, oh, well, I'm the biggest Texas fan without all the money. Like, I know you could come back
without
with that.
The Heisman Trophy.
Yeah, but like, I think if I had all the monies... And I was a Texas fan, that would be something I would absolutely want to have.
See, here's the thing. If I had all the monies and I am a Texas fan, I don't think I would care to want it. You know what I mean? Because it was like, well, that's his. That's his Heisman Trophy.
Is there something you would want? Like, is there, again, you have all the monies. Is there like a piece of memorabilia that you would want? Or does that statement go across the board and you're like, I don't want Vince Young's jersey because I didn't run that ball in against USC? Or like, what would there be something?
I mean, yeah, I mean, that might be one of those things. If he like autographed it or whatever and,
that'd
just,
be
said,
cool.
And just said, hey, to one of the biggest, Longhorns fans, blah, 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 on
ooh,
it.
So if it's personalized.
Because if you're spending that kind of money on something, you're not selling it to somebody else because you have that.
Sure.
You can go to hell money.
Sure.
So, yeah, I just want it for that. But as far as anything else, I mean, I just wouldn't go seek it and go to an auction.
Okay.
Yeah, I guess for the other thing, too, for me, I feel like it got devalued because the guy had to sell it.
I don't know this to be a fact.
Or chose to sell it.
But what if I told you that he chose to sell it for all of the money to go to research or charity?
Sure. Okay. Fine.
Would that fix it?
Yeah, that would fix it for me.
I don't know that to be a
fact.
Like,
I'm just curious. It's this feeling of, man, this guy was so short on money because his career didn't turn out what it needed to be, so he had to sell it. You know, this guy's his life... Some guy's life turned bad.
Right.
Like Tim Brown, obviously things have been all right for him, but some guy's life turned bad and he had to sell it and I bought it. And I bought it from a guy because of a memory of him in college.
Yeah.
You know, not because of he was the most successful at everything, you know, beyond after college and went on to do those things. So
same logic holds firm for like a championship ring.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay.
And see, that's the thing too, Kevin, with me. Like, one of the things I told you that I would love to have is a panel from the wall where Willie Mays caught that over-the-shoulder catch.
Holy smokes.
I'd love to have a panel off that wall because that was a sweet moment, you know? That was a beautiful moment. That's a very iconic shot, that picture. So, and those things are just, it has nothing to do with him, really, other than that play, that piece of wall got to see him make that play, so... I mean,
if I had all the monies, really what I would want is for me to recreate a pterodactyl that I ride to places when I want to go there.
Oh, Ted Williams' head.
Oh, I do want Ted Williams' head. Oh, my gosh. Out of context. Well, okay. For the record, out of context, I don't think you can ever play that again. I really don't. For the record.
Kevin's going to end up with frostbite.
Yeah. Frozen 3 is going to be crazy. All right. If Baylor, Oklahoma State, I'm going to try. If Baylor, Oklahoma State is not the biggest game of Metroplex interest, it's got to be Temple against SMU. SMU hosts Temple, who is 5-1. SMU is a 9-point favorite. We're no longer going to get the undefeated dream matchup because Memphis lost over the weekend, last weekend, but I still think if SMU wins out, you could absolutely still see them in a New Year's Six Bowl. So they will host Temple this weekend, 2:30 kick out at Ford. And then I wanted to update you real quick because Ohio State, ranked number 4 in the country, they're playing Northwestern tonight. They lead 38-3 in part on the efforts of Justin Fields, the Ohio State quarterback who's really formerly of Georgia. He's really pushing himself into the Heisman Trophy conversation, including his stats from tonight. He has one interception and 22 passing touchdowns to go along with 8 rushing touchdowns.
That's crazy.
So, yeah. Kid's a beast right there. We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next, Jerry and Steven Jones talk, and we listen. And so should you. Next on The Fan.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.